Welcome to the Shulamite Podcast, an extension of Shulamite Ministries and Shulamite.com, with weekly interviews and teaching with author and speaker Martha Kilpatrick and hosted by John Enslow. This weekly podcast is a way to stay connected to the ministry. So come experience anointed messages, not giving just another method, but a living impartation. Well, today we're coming to you and we're having to practice what we preach. I'm coming to you with a word about living in our thoughts rather than the mind of Christ, and I'm having to completely let go of my thoughts and come with His mind about that. And so Martha and I are sitting here, and we're wanting to do a podcast for you, and we're having to release literally our thoughts about it and come to you wide open so that He can bring us, you know, His mind and speak His words about whatever He's wanting to speak today. So, Martha, what is the mind of Christ coming through you to say?
Letting go of your mind. Same thing. I was reading yesterday something by T. Austin Sparks, and it sparked a lot of memories and some insights that I had never heard before. He said that Abraham, being the father of faith, he went through all the episodes of Abraham's life, and the keynote was that he was always having to let go. Mm-hmm. And I remember many years ago, we were taking care of an elderly relative, and she could not be trusted to drive anymore. And so all the children told her that, but she wouldn't quit. She'd sneak out and drive. And so they said, okay, Meemaw, we're going to have to take the spark plug out of the car. Is that what you do? Okay. They didn't tell her what they were going to do, but somehow she found out. So then she hired a teenage boy to come in and put the spark plug in, and we would be out driving, and we'd pass her, who wasn't supposed to be on the road. And other things happened.
Did she wave?
No, I think she looked like a little guilty. But there were other things that she did while we had her care that would make life so complicated for us. And I realized that she simply would not let go of being young enough to do these things. And the reality was she could have endangered people. And also we were left with this enormous responsibility that made it much harder for us to do because she would not let go. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's what it is to die. In the Christian walk, it's not being willing to let go. And I've said this phrase for years, you won't let go of what God has already taken or what He's asking you to give. So the key of faith is letting go, John. And when you follow this through, when I get to the end of it, and you share, then you'll see very clearly that letting go is faith. Mm-hmm. And I never heard that about Abraham, that was the through line. He had to let go of his home. He had to let go of his father who died. He let go of the best land and gave it to Lot. Then he had to let go of Lot. And on he had to let go until in the end it was his own son of promise, Isaac, to let him go. And at every point, he was willing to let go.
Amazingly, you know, we both went away and we were listening to God and saying, what are we going to talk about? Kind of had a direction, but we were waiting to hear what He wanted to say. And that's the end of where I come with this too, is faith. So that's really, yeah, this is really cool. Yeah.
That is cool because we didn't plan it. And so it made me go back and I'm going to tell a few things in my life. The first time I learned to let go, I was being slandered very, very badly, and blamed, and about something that I was not guilty of. And I went to the Lord to what to do. And He took me to Psalm 37, and it says, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to Him, trust in Him, but wait on the Lord. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. And at the time, I couldn't imagine how that was going to be. But I just let it be. I let it go. There wasn't anything I could do anyway. My husband always said, you can't defend yourself from a liar. And what do you say? It's not true. So what happened was, in not very long time passed, and the person who accused me had people coming forward to accuse that person. And this says in Psalm 37, they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And that person did. Plus, on further in here, it says you'll look for them and they won't be there. And that happened. That person was gone. And in it, somehow, without my doing a thing, I was completely vindicated, I guess you'd say. He said, I will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. And he did it. And there was seemingly no possible way he could do that. And the gist of Psalm 37 is the meek shall inherit the earth. So I didn't fight. I didn't defend. I didn't talk to anybody. I did fret. I did do that. But I didn't know at that time, so many years ago, that I was learning a principle of faith. When you let go of something that is injustice, I can't say I had the faith. I had the faith to obey what God was telling me. But he did exactly, phenomenally, what he said he would do. And then later on, my father passed away, and my stepmother made a will, and she didn't, my sister and I were heirs of my father, and she inherited his estate, and she didn't put my sister and me in her will. And my sister was real hurt over that, and I was too, but I let it go. I just said, well, that's how it is. And the strangest thing happened. My stepmother had a friend who was a lawyer, and this man drew up the will, and he knew that Mary and I had not been given anything, and he knew a little bit about the family. So he drove all the way from Atlanta to meet my husband when he was on the bench as a judge, and sat down with him and asked him about the family situation. My husband told him. He went back. He went to her and said, this is not fair. He had her remake her will and give Mary and me an inheritance. The interesting thing, John, is I used that inheritance to buy our cabin in Sutches that eventually brought other people up to have cabins and then eventually brought us there to live, and that became Shulamite Ministries. But it wasn't right to oppose the will or even say anything. It just wasn't. And I could let that go fairly easy. But God defended us in the most unexpected way.
Well, the amazing thing is the fruit that came out of that whole deal has been, you know, exponential.
Yeah, it really has. Never would I have dreamed that inheritance would, you know, work out like that.
Read that scripture you were saying in Psalm 37. Read that scripture again.
Do not fret because of evildoers, or be envious toward the wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday.
Well, you know what I hear on that, and what I can apply to that is waiting. And what you did was you waited until the noxious weed, so to speak, withered. You waited. And I think that that's one of the most painful things that we go through in letting, is the fact that we're unwilling to wait. And you and I are currently waiting for him to write some stuff through us. And we waited, and it was literally painful for us to wait. It was literally a grand struggle. I was feeling it in my chest. I was going, I need to be doing something. And just to sit there and wait with him was actually aggravating the inside of my body, you know? And I think that the whole basis of letting also ties you completely to the waiting on him.
Absolutely. That's always in, and it's, even it says in here in Psalm 37, wait for the Lord.
Okay, that's where I was getting it, because I heard that and I was like going, oh my gosh, that's all about waiting.
Those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land, meaning the promised land of prosperity and everything is blessed.
Well, we had to wait. We're having to wait. We have to wait. You had to wait. Mm-hmm. I think he lets us wait. I think he purposes for us to wait, because then it's utter dependence on him. Then we know it's him.
And waiting is dying.
It is a death, absolutely.
Just read recently, Art Katz said, the mark of a priest is the willingness to wait. The mark of a priest unto God is the willingness to wait.
And you say that the mark of an addict is someone who's unwilling to wait.
Right. Who can't wait, yeah. Unwilling is the word. And what you're fighting is your own flesh. You want to think something, you want to do something, you want to make something happen, and that waiting is the surrender to the Lordship of Christ. It's surrender to his will. And I realize so many episodes in my life that the answer was let go. Let it be. I believe it's Psalm 46:10 in the Amplified says, let be and be still and know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're big on that particular verse. To let go is to let something be without control, or hopefully without fretting.
We hope you've enjoyed the Shulamite podcast. For all the latest from Shulamite Ministries, please visit us at shulamite.com, where you'll find Martha's daily devotions, posts from getalongwithgod.com, and the online library of all of Martha's writings. At shulamite.com, downloading the free Shulamite app is easy, and livingchristianbooks.com is only a click away. Thank you for joining us on this journey to discover a God worth knowing.